Yeah, and I don't know, and a lot of people obviously do not like Clive and Bundy and his supporters. They say they're like racist or whatever. And do you feel that as like just that those are just scare tactics to demonize Bundy or supporters, or is that maybe there's some truth to them, or just like, or is it, do you think that's all irrelevant to what this represents, that the overreach by the BLM?
Yeah. I think your final point is the one which I would focus on. Yeah, it's not really that relevant. It may be that some of Bundy's supporters have said things in the past that were bad or off color or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at some of the things that the BLM has done or the Interior Department has done, they've also been very heavy-handed in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not fundamentally a question of the backgrounds of the supporters on either side. The fact is the federal government is controlling far too much land there, and the feds need to disgorge a lot of what they're controlling because it's symptomatic of federal dominance of American life.
I see. Yeah. One of the more curious points made is that Bundy shouldn't be mad that he's getting his land taken, because the same thing happened to the Native Americans when we first expanded out west, you know? And I mean, I think that's kind of like a strange statement to make, because it's kind of like, okay, since this bad happened in the past, then this bad should be done too. And by the same perpetrator, no less, you know? It's just like, it's curious to me.
Yeah, I mean, if people want to follow the same logic, then they should say the federal government should be allowed to steal everybody's land because it's stolen land from the Indians.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm just waiting for people to start quoting General Phil Sheridan. He was the one, I believe, who said that the only good Indian is a dead Indian.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, maybe the BLM will start saying that about cattle ranchers. Mm-hmm. Probably not, because most of the BLM people are not that way, but it doesn't make sense to go into the past for these analogies that basically give a license to commit fresh atrocities.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, I would say. And I hope that all works out, you know, because I mean, like, it's just, I don't know, it's just, I mean, there is a lot of tension in the country between the different group, the left and the right, you know, so, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, a part of what I'm trying to do with some of my writing is to wake up people on both sides that instead of focusing their hostility on each other, that they should look at the government and the arbitrary power that has been built up decade by decade in these federal agencies.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is the real threat to their rights and freedom, not whether somebody on the other side of the barricade insults them or makes some comments that are just, you know, completely rude or whatever. I mean, the real danger is the power of the federal government, and that's the thing that we have to limit in order to have a rebirth of American freedom.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I see. Yeah, and I want to talk, well, I mean, we're going a little bit over time, but that's fine. I mean, I'm not in a rush or anything, but okay. I want to ask about one of your latest books, Attention Deficit Democracy, and I unfortunately have not read that one, but if I'm not mistaken, it's about...
Oh, okay, I'm sorry, go ahead. That's fine.
Sorry. I'm going to get to it someday, don't worry.
Well, yeah, but I have to say the fact that you have read at least one or two of my books means that you're a prodigy among radio hosts.
Really?
An absolute prodigy.
But is that a good thing or a bad thing, like a backhanded compliment?
It's a very good thing, because so often hosts are saying, okay, so our next guest wrote a book, let's see what the title is. Oh, and best of all is a host is saying, well, yeah, I've got your book here, the cover is red and white, and I think, oh, this is going to be a great discussion.
Okay.
We're going to talk about the cover design. So, no, but I really appreciate the fact that you read my articles and some of the blog and some of the past writing. So it makes for a much better informed discussion. And I was serious about you being a prodigy in a good way that way.
Okay, thank you very much. Yeah, so Attention Deficit Democracy, if I'm not mistaken, the point you're making is that citizens generally do not, they're unwilling, or they just can't, they're incapable of, like, holding politicians accountable, like, to statements they make, and, like, goals they set, you know, like, they're just, like, overlook any indiscretions and just keep voting them back into office. And so, yeah, is that the case?
Yeah, there are a number of things, systemic things, that undermine political accountability in this country. One of them is that most citizens are not well enough informed to judge the candidates at a federal level and other levels as well. Citizens tend to fall for far too much political BS. But another wrinkle in that attention deficit democracy book was that the congressmen themselves are very often ignorant of what they're doing and grossly negligent. I had a story a couple days ago in the Washington Times that was entitled "Cluster Bomb Congress," and mm-hmm. it talked about a law that Congress that was one sentence in a law that Congress passed in 2008 that the feds have exploited to just bushwhack tens of thousands of Americans and seize their tax returns based for debts that might be decades old that might have been incurred by their deceased parents. But the feds have just ridden roughshod over fair play and due process because of a single sentence in a law long ago. And you have all these thick laws being passed by Congress, 1,000 pages, 800 pages. A congressman don't bother reading the laws. And there are these provisions in these laws that are like a cluster bomb that are scattered across the landscape, hundreds of different provisions. And then years later, people might will find themselves bushwhacked or blown to bits by one of these provisions that gives the government all this arbitrary power and that no one recognized.
Oh my goodness, that's insane. So I want to ask, this sounds like it'll be a huge problem in years to come. But I want to ask, what other what issues do you feel are the most pressing right now? Specific issues?
Oh Lord, I don't have a good answer for that. Mm-hmm. Certainly, it's important to avoid new foreign wars.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Especially with places like Russia and Iran or Syria.
Mm-hmm.
Folks need an accounting of the rights that the federal government is violating right now. It's good. Thanks to Edward Snowden and Glenn Greenwald, we've learned quite a bit about the federal intrusions by the NSA. There's a lot of other agencies that are trampling our rights as well we haven't learned about.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be great to open up the files in these government agencies because I think that would help vaccinate millions of Americans against trust in government. it'd be great if the government stopped spending more money than it took in revenue. I'm holding my breath on that one. It'd be great if the government stopped screwing the value of the U.S. dollar. Because the U.S. government, the Federal Reserve, by having a zero interest policy, is basically pillaging the middle class, the people that have savings in this country. And that is one of the greatest injustices that does not get, and that gets hardly any attention. So those are a few things.
I see. Yeah. Okay, well, I think that's all for today, actually. Yeah, but it's been a real good discussion, Mr. Bovard. So, yeah, it was great. Thank you so much for coming on. And
thanks so much for having me on. Thanks for doing the reading ahead of time, and thanks for being so well prepared.
Thank you very much. The pleasure is. Well, it's all mine. I gotta say, it was just like, I mean, you're a phenomenal writer. That's all I can say.
Well, thanks. That's very kind. I really appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I mean, thanks for having me on. Thanks for, it's nice we had time enough to go with the ideas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So to do it at a much better depth than most of the time happens in commercial radio.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I try to, I try to go for that. I try to make sure that we develop on ideas, me and my guest. And so, yeah.
Which is it. So are you a senior? Are you graduating?
I'm a senior, actually. This is my last quarter, but I'm going to continue my show after in podcast format. So, yeah, and just to make it up to you, to make up the last 5 minutes or so, you can come on my show whenever again, for a repeat performance and
okay.
Talk again. So, yeah.
Appreciate that. And are you seeking a job at a radio station once you graduate, or what's your battle plan? Mm.
Well, I would ideally get to work at a battle station, a radio station afterwards, but I'm probably going to have to work like in some less impressive jobs, retail and all that. But I'm hoping maybe I'll get an internship somewhere. Yeah, so hopefully it works out. But I will continue this in, like I said, I'll continue this in podcast format, this show. So even if I don't get a show again, I can still do this on my own, you know, and just upload it to the internet.
That sounds great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sounds good.
Thank you so much, Mr. Boulevard, and just thank you again for coming on. You're great.
Okay. Well, thank you, and all the best to you.
Thank you. All the best to you, too. Have a great day. And all right. All right. Oh, wait, let me plug you in. This has been James Boulevard. He has authored a litany of books, including The Fair Trade Fraud, Lost Rights, The Bush Betrayal, and Attention Deficit Democracy. And his latest book is Public Policy Hooligan. It's been published in ebook format, and you can find that online, and you can find others on eBay or a local bookstore near you. So thank you, Mr. Boulevard, and have a great day.
Hey, thanks so much.
Hey, thank you again. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. I'll send you the interview, too.
Okay, great.
Sweet. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.